Easter Sunday is always a very special day. I don't know about you, but I get really excited about Easter because of what it means and the significance of it and the power behind it and just the optimism that I feel in the air, even from standing down there at the waterfront this morning at 22 degrees. It's always exciting to gather together because we know that when God's people meet together, there's a song we used to sing, what a thrill that I feel when we get together with God's wonderful people. And you know, people come out of the woodwork on Easter Sunday, and a lot of people that I call CE people, Christmas and Easter. We're still together, and we hope that, for those of you who are here this morning and you don't go to church much, that you will want to make it a real priority because of the significance of what this day really means. But we know that, as a fellow told me once, that times are changing. And we live in a different world today than what we lived in even a year ago, even 5 years ago, even 10 years ago. When I started in ministry back 30 years now, I might as well give in and let you know, it was a long time ago, things were much different. Things were totally different than what they are today. And today, as we celebrate Easter, we celebrate it in a world that is so different than what we used to know it to be. I want you to know something. Even though the world has changed, and even though things seem to be on the downhill skids for many, the fact is that the message of Easter has not changed. The message of Christ, the message of God's hope, has not changed. Easter hasn't changed. The events that took place on that first Resurrection Sunday over 2,000 years ago supersede any event that has taken place even since. It supersedes even man walking on the moon. Supersedes even some of the great cures for our modern medical day that we're in. It supersedes everything that's ever taken place. You see, Easter morning renders powerless all acts of terror. It renders powerless all acts of war. It renders powerless death and hate and sickness and pain and sorrow and despair and heartbreak and loneliness and sin and every other awful thing that you can imagine or you can even fathom. It supersedes all of these things. And that's why I'm excited always to preach on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it has the power to change lives, and because my life has changed as a result. And I trust you can say amen that your life has changed, that your heart has changed, that you are a new person today because of what Christ has done in your life, what you couldn't do for yourself. The events of Easter morning demonstrate to us the foundational truth of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Period. Period. That he has power over death. That he has power over sin. That he has power to make a difference in your life, in my life today. And I want us to celebrate this Easter Sunday as we should celebrate Easter Sunday. As we should celebrate every day, every Sunday, by responding to the risen Lord Jesus Christ the same way his followers responded to him on the day when the tomb was found to be empty. Matthew 28 tells the story. It's a beautiful narrative. John's Gospel records it. Luke records it. The Gospel of Mark records it. But here in Matthew chapter 28, as Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to Jesus' tomb, there was a violent earthquake, we're told, and the stone that covered the tomb all of a sudden was rolled away. The angel of the Lord appeared and said these words that are found here in Matthew chapter number 28. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. And then she says, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. As the women hurried away, the Bible says they were afraid yet filled with joy. Kind of an oxymoron to be afraid and filled with joy at the same time. You ever been afraid and filled with joy at the same time? It's kind of a weird feeling, isn't it? And if you can imagine how these women felt, how these disciples felt as they were afraid yet filled with joy. And suddenly Jesus greeted them and they fell at his feet and they worshiped him. And he said, don't be afraid. Fear not, as it says in the old King James. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. They'll see me. And these are the first words that the risen Christ had actually spoken. These are the first words that were recorded in history that Jesus spoke after his resurrection. And in this simple message, we learn how to live out the significance of Easter in our daily lives. Isn't that what it's all about? You know, a lot of people, they use this word religion and they play with it and they Christianity and the whole nine yards. But I believe that the message of Easter is relevant for today. The message of Easter is relevant for you and it's relevant for me. I wouldn't be here preaching about it. I wouldn't be here singing these songs if I didn't believe that. You know, it'd be a waste of time, really, for us to come in here and just go through a ritual and sing some songs, do some readings, and go through a ritual of proceedings and then go home without it being relevant. God's Word is relevant. Easter is relevant. Easter is relevant because it means new life. It means new hope. It means things that, you know, that God can do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. So these are the words that were spoken by Jesus on that first Easter Sunday. And there are three things I want to point out to you very clearly and very quickly here this morning. I know some of you have your ham in the oven. My wife has it in the oven. We've got company coming later on today. But here are three things that in this age of terror, in these days that are changing moment by moment and day by day and week by week, and as things appear to be just out of control, here are some things that you can take home with you and you can take to the bank today. And you can hide in your heart and you can allow these truths to not only transform you today, but in the days to come. And it'll give you new hope and new meaning as you think of the resurrection. The first thing we need to do is, as we're taught here by Jesus and by these disciples and by this great and wonderful story, is this, that we ought to stand up to our fears. This was one thing that was very evident when they found the tomb that was empty. They were fearful. The disciples didn't know what was going to happen. They had no idea what was going to take place next. And we know that during his ministry on earth, Jesus time and time again told his disciples to fear not. And after his resurrection, one of the very first statements he made was, do not be afraid. Now, why would Jesus say this? Isn't this an emotion that, you know, it's an emotion that we can't control? You know, fear is something that does a lot of people in. A lot of people go to the emergency ward out of fear, perhaps than any kind of a boo-boo. A lot of people go to the emergency ward and to see doctors and to get professional help because of what's going on inside them. They're fearful of what's happening. You know, fear hits us like a tidal wave sometimes, when we're least prepared for it. Have you ever noticed a suspicious symptom in your body? maybe a pain, a sharp pain that was taking place, maybe a pain in your chest, maybe a numbness, maybe a lump, and you're seized all of a sudden by panic, and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by fear, and you don't know what to do or what to say or where to go or anything like that. Or you have, maybe you've fallen asleep on the couch while waiting for your teenager to come home, and all of a sudden some fear strikes you and you wake up at 12:30 at night and your teenager is still not home. That's happened to me a few times. And you wake up and all of a sudden that teenager is still gone out someplace. Fear is an overpowering emotion, and certainly not an emotion that we would willingly choose to feel. But yet Jesus says, do not be afraid, as if it's a simple matter of choice. And you know what? It is a simple matter of choice. And here's why. Jesus is not referring to our emotions such as he is referring to our thoughts, as he's referring to our actions. He's saying, do not think fearfully. And he's saying, do not act fearfully. Don't do those things, because they're not going to do you much good. During times when we experience a personal crisis, during times that we seem as though the world is going out of control, maybe a job layoff or a health problem or whatever it is, we often let the uncertainty of the future just kind of cause us to put our lives on hold. Jesus is saying that you don't have to do that. He's saying you don't need to get wrapped up in that. He says, in effect, I have the answer over life, and I have the answer over death, and I have the power to help you with any challenge that you face, whatever it might be, no matter how large it might be, no matter how minute it might be. I have the answer, and all you need to do is call upon me. All you need to do is trust me. Later on in that chapter in Matthew 28, after he gave what we call the Great Commission to his disciples, he said this, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't it wonderful to know that he's with us? He's with us. We sing that song at Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us. And here again we see it at the cross. Here again we hear it and reminded of it at the resurrection, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And because of the resurrection, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be in turmoil. We don't have to be in despair. The resurrection tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. That if he can conquer death, he can conquer anything. That if he can conquer disparity or any kind of an evil in this world, he can conquer anything. And so we need to have thoughts of faith and act in faith. Fear is just a feeling, and we know we don't have to live by our feelings. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, the scriptures tell us. And so we need to stand up to our fear. What a great lesson that comes from the resurrection. The second thing we need to do is focus on our mission. God has given us a mission. Look what he says. Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell. Now, Jesus wanted the disciples to know that, and Mary to know that, that this message, this new reality, was not something they were to keep to themselves. It was not something they were to hold on to themselves and hide to themselves. They were to go, and they were to tell it. And just as Jesus gave those faithful women a message for the other disciples, he's given us that message for the world that we live in. Tell them that I'm alive. That's what Jesus is asking you and I to do today. Tell them that I'm alive. Tell the world that I am who I am. Tell the world that I have the power over death and hell, and that by trusting in me, trusting in what I've done on the cross, and by rising from the dead, that they also can have that resurrected life. They also can have meaning and significance in their lives as well. Go and tell. Scriptures are very clear. Go and make disciples, the Bible says. Go into all the world and preach the good news to every creation, to every creature. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. He's commanded every single one of us to go. Every single one of us to be light, to be salt, to change the world around us, making disciples. You've heard it many, many times, I'm sure. You've been preached to. Perhaps even guilt trips have been laid upon you to invite people to come to church, or to be able to witness to your friend, or witness to someone across the street, or witness to your coworker. But that's what he tells us to do, to go and to tell. This good news of the gospel is not to be kept to ourselves. It's a joy to be able to share that gospel, to be able to share the good news, and to be able to help people understand that when they walk in the newness of Christ, that he's able to deliver them to the uttermost. I think it was in Reader's Digest one time that I read a story about a guy who, when he was 12, he broke a window while playing baseball with a friend. And they quickly looked around to see if anyone was looking. And the only witness was this guy, his name was Jeff, his younger brother, and Jeff said to him, keep quiet about this, will you? And if you keep quiet, I'll give you some candy. And the younger brother said, well, I don't want any candy. And Jeff said, well, keep quiet about this, and I'll give you a baseball. And the younger brother said, well, I don't want a baseball. And then Jeff said, well, how about my baseball and a new glove? I'll give it to you. It's all yours if you keep quiet and don't tell anybody I broke this window. And the younger brother said, I don't want your glove either. And then he said to him, well, what do you want? What do you want? And the younger brother said, I just want to tell. I want to tell. And that ought to be with us as Christians as well. We just want to tell. We want to tell. We want to blabbermouth the good news of Jesus, that he's risen, he's alive, he is who he says he is. And the third thing we see here, not only are we stand up to our fears and in this changing world that we're in, and not only are we to focus on our mission, which we have a great and awesome mission, a great and awesome responsibility to share the good news of Jesus in a world that's so full of pain and so full of hurt right now. But the final thing we see here is that we need to rely on his promises, the promises of God. Verse 10, what a great promise. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. There they will see me. This is the promise. You say what I tell you to say, and I'll show up. I'll show up. You know, there are lots of places this morning where they meet together and people are celebrating Easter, but God hasn't shown up. God's not there. He hasn't showed up because they really go through it as more of a ritual thing than anything else. God hasn't shown up in many people's homes because he hasn't been invited. God wants to show up. And the message of Easter is that God has shown up in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's shown up. He's here. Easter is being celebrated in places today where Jesus is not invited. And so he can't show up in places like that. He has to be invited. But we have invited him this morning. He's shown up here. And if Jesus doesn't show up, we're powerless. If Jesus doesn't show up, anything we do is in vain. If Jesus does not show up, we are still in our sin. If Jesus has not shown up. We are ineffective and impotent, and we are deserving of the wrath of God. Our hope is in the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. Our hope is in Him. If He doesn't change lives, the church or a denomination or a particular group of people you're a part of will not be able to accomplish that. The church as a whole is really in trouble if Jesus hasn't shown up. If we have to change this world in our power, we can't do it because Jesus hasn't shown up. We have to rely on His power. It's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the good news. It's the power of Christ. You know, I make promises from this pulpit many times, and I make promises based on the Word of God. And we make promises to this community. We make promises to people around us. We make promises that the gospel is good news, that if we give our lives to Jesus Christ, He will change us. He will make us new. He will make us complete. He will do in us what we cannot do for ourselves, that if we give our burdens to Him, He will bear them for us. If we confess our sins to Him, He will forgive us absolutely and completely. If we give Him our sorrow, if we give Him our fears, if we give Him our broken dreams, our worries, our heartaches, our pain, whatever it might be, if we give it to Him, you know, He promises that He'll show up. He promises that He'll be there for us. He promises that He'll take care of us no matter what. Without the promises of Jesus, the church doesn't have a prayer. Without the promises of Jesus, you do not have a prayer. I don't have a prayer. We have no hope in this world or in the world to come apart from the promises of Jesus Christ. We're standing on the promises this morning. We're standing on His promises because of the resurrection. We live by the promises of God. He's our hope. We could do nothing apart from Him. And as we face uncertain times, who knows whether, you know, very soon in this country, we will see Christians being slaughtered for their faith as they are in other parts of the world right now. Who knows? We could very well see that happening very, very soon here. It's something that's scary. It's something that none of us want to see. It's an awful thing. Even what's happening in places like Kenya right now. But you know, it could happen. But the promise is that God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You can try to legislate Christ. You can try to legislate political correctness. You can try to take God out of the school system. You can try to take God out of our homes and out of society. But you can't take Him out of my heart. You can't take Him out of my life. You can't take Him out of my soul because He's there forever. And He's indwelling me by the power of the Holy Spirit today. That's what Easter's about. That's the significance of Easter. And this morning, if you have never experienced Christ yourself in your life, I would invite you to do that today. I'd invite you to come to Him, put your faith in Him, to trust Him. You know, this world is changing, but Easter doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we celebrate Easter as it should be celebrated every day, the same as it was celebrated on that first Easter day. We stand up to our fears by thinking and acting in faith. We focus on our mission by telling others about the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And we rely on the promises that God shows up when we invite Him in our lives and in the lives of those who put their trust in Him. I want to invite you today, if you haven't received Him, if you haven't invited Him into your life, that you do that. He died on the cross for you. He rose from the dead for you. He wants you to be in heaven with Him. And I I had one wise gentleman one time, he told me, he said, make sure you, when, before you leave this world, that you take as many as possible along with you to the next, to where heaven is itself. So do you know him today? Have you received him? You just basically admit the fact that you're a sinner. That's how you receive Christ. You admit that you're a sinner. That, you know, me a sinner? Yes. The Bible says all have sinned. And all of us have come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's as simple as ABC. Admitting that we're sinners. Believing and trusting in him. And confessing him as Lord and as Savior. Have you done that? If you haven't, I invite you to do it even before the day's over. I invite you to come to him even on this beautiful Easter day. Let's pray. Lord, we ask today that our hearts would be in tune with your Spirit. Father, I thank you for Easter. I thank you for the message of the resurrection. I thank you there's no need to fear. There's no need for hopelessness, because you have swallowed death in victory, and you have made it possible for us to know forgiveness and eternal life. Heavenly Father, I pray today, if there be one person here, perhaps, who sees their need for the Savior, one person who wants to come to him today, that you'd speak to that person, you'd bring them to yourself. Bring them to eternal life in Jesus. And I thank you for what you're going to do. And I praise you for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.